And a good Sunday morning to you. Susie Jones taking the day off. Actually, she's taking next Sunday off as well. So we will be back filling in for Susie. But she will be back in a couple of Sundays or so. Denny Long here in the meantime. Welcome to our Health Hour. And get those fingers ready to call in or text in, because Dr. David Hilden has joined us again on this Sunday morning. Dr. Hilden, good morning to you. So great to have you back on. I know you're so busy, but we're grateful, and I know our listeners are as well. So welcome back.
Good morning, Denny. You know, there's nothing better than a Sunday morning with a good cup of coffee, hearing your voice back on WCCO and the best listeners in the region. CCO listeners, get your text fingers ready. Better yet, give me a call. Surprise me. What's on your mind about your health? There's a lot going on in the world, but it's a good morning here because we're talking about your health, Denny and me.
We're going to keep an open line, and if you're unaware, Dr. Hilden has a great podcast. We'll talk about that as we move through this hour. Really good stuff. I mentioned to you off the air, Doctor, but this is kind of a reunion weekend, not only with we're lucky to have you on this Sunday morning, but yesterday morning in my first hour here on CCO, we had Jim Gilbert. You remember Jim, of course.
Oh, Jim of Nature Notes fame. I have Jim Gilbert's book, I think. You know, I don't know Jim well, but I always think of guys like Jim because Julie and I, my wife, we've become kind of unscheduled birders.
Sure.
You know, and our daughter says, when does birding sneak up on you? Because our daughter, who's 30, she says, like, okay, every time I'm with you guys, you stop to look at some bird that moved by. And so there's nobody better to talk about the natural world than Jim Gilbert. And so I just love it. I love it. I hope people are staying healthy and staying safe this summer. For listeners who don't know what Denny is referring to, I was on this show. I was on this hour of airtime for, 13 years doing the Healthy Matters show. And I do now have a podcast. We dropped a new episode today about diabetes, which is something that you might want to look into if you have diabetes, or even if you don't, because so many people do. But it cracks me up about the Nature show, because that's exactly what's become of us, you know, and I love it. Oh, there's a goldfinch on our bird feeder, and we can spend 10 minutes talking about it.
It's true. I do the same thing looking out the kitchen window at my bird feeder. I thought, let me go look up this bird.
Yeah,
let me
exactly.
Get my book out. But in the meantime, now that we have Dr. David Hilden gracing our microphone, if you have any kind, this is kind of what we always called an open line show. If you have any kind of a health question, 651-461-9226. First text came in. Welcome back, Dr. Hilden. Another one just came in here. Of course, this is a huge topic, nationwide, maybe worldwide. What are some best ideas to lose weight?
Oh, my goodness. So that's a, quote, weighty topic to start us off. Thank you, listener, for getting us started off. So weight loss. Oh, boy. And it is related to the topic I just mentioned, diabetes. 1 in 10 Americans has diabetes, and that's going up. And it's largely because of weight. And my first thing to tell people if you're struggling with weight is don't beat yourself up over it. It's hard. It's not a character flaw. There's nothing wrong with you inside. It's just that it's something to address. You know? So that's the first thing. Don't beat yourself up for it if you're overweight. But then take action. So the first thing is usually portion control. We have no idea what's a normal portion anymore. So if you're of a certain age, you maybe remember what your dinner plate looked like. Now you go out to eat and it's the size of a platter. It looks like King Henry VIII is about to sit down for a dinner. So portion size is important. A lot of people talk about the plate method. So on your dinner plate, take it into three sections. Half of the dinner plate should be vegetables. Something dark green, something dark orange. Eat the rainbow, they say. Dark vegetables, colorful vegetables. A quarter of the plate should be some lean proteins or beans or lentils or lean meats. And then a quarter of it should be starches. That's the opposite of what we do. We often have like a giant plate of spaghetti. And we put a couple little, you know, we might put a piece of spinach on there. But it's not what we, that's not right. And then exercise, of course, try to get 30 minutes a day. And I won't get into more of that because most listeners are smart. You're all smart, but you know that. Exercise. But then there are things your doctor can help with. For the first time in my 25 years doing medicine, we have medicines to help. The ones we had 10 years ago were terrible. They barely did anything, let's be honest. The new ones work. They're expensive. They're not simple, but they do work. So go see your doctor if you have some weight issues.
Yeah. I didn't introduce you properly. If you're just joining us, Dr. David Hilden is joining us this morning. He is an internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare, which means, as we always like to say, you treat adults. And I wanted to ask you, as we are getting more text, if you want to call and talk with the doctor, sure, do that too, 651-461-9226. But I wanted to ask you, and you mentioned diabetes. That's got to be one of the biggest health challenges these days. What are some others that are at the top of the list?
Yeah, so there's some good news on chronic health of adults. Heart disease remains the top cause of problems and even death in this country. It's probably going to be overtaken, though, in the next 5 to 10 years by, unfortunately, cancers. The reason for that is that our treatments for heart disease are so good. They've gotten a lot better. And so heart disease is still number one. Cancers are number two. But strokes are on the way down. That's a good thing. Respiratory illnesses aren't are on the way down. Things like pneumonia. Things that are rising are diabetes. It continues to be on the rise, and that is largely due to where too many of us are carrying too much weight. We're overweight or obese. Diabetes is rising. Another one that I've been thinking about a lot lately is dementia. Alzheimer's disease is on the rise. And I don't know why that is. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because people are living longer and their hearts are doing okay well into their 80s and 90s. And the treatments for cancer are pretty good, so maybe that's part of the reason. But I do encourage people, especially if you're of a certain age, especially if you got that Medicare card, that means you're 65 and you have Part B, get that Medicare wellness exam. Because I do them all the time. Because what you get at the Medicare wellness exam, it's a benefit of Medicare, is your doctor will do a short cognitive evaluation. It's just a short little test. I'll probably make you draw a clock face or make you answer, remember some words. But it helps us to determine whether you might have early memory loss or cognitive loss. It's a free benefit of Medicare. Your doctor often doesn't do it otherwise because it takes 5 minutes. But that's so. Alzheimer's, diabetes, those are on the rise.
On the rise. Dr. Hilden, please hang on. We'll take this quick break and invite, again, our listeners to join in on our open line show this morning. You know, we'll tend to get busy, so call us, text us as soon as you have a question in mind, 651-461-9226. Right now, in the Twin Cities, we have 63 degrees, sunshine today. We're going to get up to 81, and for your Monday, about the same, sunny and 81. Stay with us, News Talk 830 WCCO. 7:21 in the morning, Denny Long in for Susie Jones. She will return in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, if you're just joining us, Dr. David Hilden has returned to CCO Radio, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare. Tons of questions, which you're used to being on the show as often as we did our show together, Dr. Hilden. And we have callers, we have texters. A caller, speaking of callers, did not want to go on the air. But he or she was asking about diabetes, type 1, I believe, and you were going to do a little follow-up.
Sure. Thank you for that phone call. The question was about insulin and the ways you deliver it. It was about insulin pumps and insulin pens and technological pens like the iPen or the InPen and all this kind of stuff. So what these are for is for people who have type 1 diabetes. That is the kind of diabetes that about 5 to 10% of the people have. The rest have type 2. But if you have type 1, your body does not make insulin. It just doesn't make it, and you must have insulin. Living without insulin is not compatible with living. And so the pump is just one way to deliver it to your body. It stays on your body for not permanently, because you can take them out later, but you don't take them on and off every day. You leave it on for a month or two or three or a year or 2 years, and you still have to check your sugars 3 to 4 times a day. But you don't have to give yourself needle injections because it's in your body. So it's a matter of preference. The pens are getting smarter now. They're connected to your iPhone or your smartphone. And so, but you still have to give yourself an insulin injection, but it also connects to your phone. So I do encourage people with type 1 diabetes to talk to a specialist. You should be seeing an endocrinologist. if you have type 1 diabetes. And talk about all these new technologies and find the one that's right for you. A lot of it is personal preference. Do you want the pump? Do you want the pen? Do you want a continuous glucose monitor? All these are options for sometimes for people with type 2 diabetes, but especially if you have type 1.
Now, you mentioned at the top of the show, maybe someone missed it, on your podcast. Now, how do we find your podcast, by the way?
Yeah, go to healthymatters.org, and you'll see a doofy picture of me. I'm wearing a white coat, which I never do in my real life. I have a white coat only for promotional pictures. So you'll see this picture of me. You can go to that or wherever you get your podcasts. It's not live. It's we pre-record them. But they're usually about 25 minutes long, and if you want to listen to it on your computer, you might be in South Africa, Minneapolis, Minnesota, or Green Bay, Wisconsin. You can listen to the podcast anywhere or wherever you get your podcasts. That might be on your Apple. It might be on Spotify. Just look up my name, Healthy Matters with David Hilden, and you'll find it. Today's episode is about diabetes.
So yeah, that's why I wanted to bring it up so specifically about for that listener and the rest of our listeners as well. We'll mention that podcast before Dr. Hilden leaves us. In the meantime, call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Speaking of calls, first up, Ann calling in from Robbinsdale this morning. Thanks for waiting, Ann. What is your question?
Oh, good morning. Would you explain the S in RSV, and also is one dose of the vaccine enough?
Yeah, thanks, Ann, for your call from beautiful Robbinsdale. The S, I believe you said RSV. RSV is a viral illness, and it's been around for decades and decades. It's been prominent in people at both ends of what we call the extremes of age, babies, infants, and older adults over age 75. So it stands for respiratory syncytial virus, which is kind of a worthless term. Respiratory, you get virus, you get syncytial is just the way it works in the cells. And the vaccine is now available for adults over age 75, and you should get it one time. Vaccines we change as new strains come along or new technology comes along. So the current recommendation, if you're an older adult, you should have one dose of the RSV vaccine. And as far as we know, with current science, that's adequate.
All right. I want to get to the text messages, but let's grab another phone call. Cindy, I think, is calling in from Nashville this morning. Am I correct, Cindy?
Yes. I'm a native of Minneapolis, current living in Nashville.
Well, we miss you, and we miss your tax dollars here in Minnesota.
Absolutely.
How can we help you today?
Well, I know it's a hot topic, but I'm calling you to get the doctor's take on the necessity of statins. If you have a borderline high cholesterol, but you do have blockages, I have a stent and a couple other blockages, but I've gone through a couple statins. I just couldn't take how my body felt, and so now I've started the shot. But yet you read online that people say, oh, you need your cholesterol. These are poisons. You can do it naturally. And I just wanted to get his opinion on what some of the integrative doctors think about this.
Well, thanks for the call.
Great question, Cindy. Have fun. I hope you're enjoying living in Nashville. I heard it's hopping on the weekends in Nashville.
So hot, but it was beautiful there last weekend.
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks for calling in from beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. And so here's the deal on statins. They're great, and they are proven for some people. And nothing's absolute in medicine, but for some people, it is important that you're on one. And that is if you have known coronary disease, and it sounds like you do. You have a stent in your coronary arteries. I would be on a statin there. I wouldn't even think for a nanosecond about that. I would be. Yes, 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 yes. Because you've already proven to the world and your creator and anybody who wants to listen that you have blockages in your arteries. So I would do everything that we have to make that better. Now, that doesn't mean they're for everybody. And in like a lot of things in medicine, we change as new information becomes available. 15 years ago, people wanted to put it in the water supply because it was so good for some people. Now we know that it shouldn't be in the water supply, but it should be for people who have certain risk factors. So if you don't have blocked arteries in your heart, then what we often do is we look at the numbers and we calculate a risk for you. I do it every day in the clinic. I calculate the risk of a heart problem for the patient who's sitting in front of me. And if it's a relatively high risk, we talk about going on a statin. And if it's a lower risk, maybe not. It's not just about the numbers, in other words. But you asked about other things. You know, so statins, they're not poison. They're not. But all medicines have risks and benefits. So they do have some downsides. They can cause muscle aches. That's not terribly rare. They can cause liver problems. That is very rare. And we don't know about everything they can do, but they've been around for 40 years. So we know a lot about them. So if you are one of those higher risk persons, strongly, strongly, I recommend you take the statin. But the other things, I would encourage you to eat right. That's probably, if you take a statin, it doesn't matter if you're eating fast food every day and you're eating French fries and soda pop. Don't drink your calories. Don't fry your food. Eat more vegetables. Things like that. If eat right, some people find there are some what they call natural remedies for statins. None of them are proven, but some of them might help. There's some plant based things that might be okay. They're just not proven. Red yeast rice, people say. Again, that's not proven. But natural does not equal safe. Hemlock is natural, but it'll kill you. So it's about your own personal risk factors. I understand completely that, well, I don't want to put this chemical in my body. Well, we put chemicals in our body every time you go to a fast food restaurant. So we do it all the time. If you breathe the air, you're putting chemicals in your body. So it's about your personal risk factors. But your question is the one to be having, Cindy. I applaud you for having the question and thinking of all the different possibilities.
Dr. Hilden, I was going to break for weather, and we'll do that, but I don't want to leave Dan and Blaine hanging on too long. So let's grab another phone call. Dan, what is your question for Dr. Hilden this morning?
Hey, good morning, Dr. Hilden. Everything you say, I listen to. Hey,
oh, that's nice, Dan.
Thank you. Recently, my mother in her mid-80s was at home, and she's very healthy, but she passed out, and we thought it was like a stroke, but they diagnosed it as crystals in the ear, and they said that's very common. Can you explain exactly what that is?
Yep, thanks for your great question and for being such a great friend of ours, Dan. So otoliths is what she has. Crystals in the ear have a medical term, otoliths. Oto ear, lith, like rock. Your inner ears are an amazing, small, little, semicircular canals that keep us upright. It's what makes a figure skater be able to spin, and it's what makes Justin Jefferson be able to go up for a catch in football and not be dizzy. It allows us to walk upright. But the fluid in our inner ears has to freely move. It has to freely move in these semicircular canals. If you're a math geek, you know, I don't know anything about being a geek, but if you're a math geek, it's like the three coordinates of an axis, the X, the Y, and the Z. And those three things have to have fluid moving through them. If you get these little crystals in there or otoliths, the fluid doesn't move freely and your inner ears play tricks on your body. You get dizzy and you fall down. Good news is it's not malignant. It's not cancer. It's not like some horrible thing, but it often can get better. Sometimes just on its own. We don't know why some people have them. Let me correct that. I don't know why some people have them. I'm sure there's people smarter than me that know. So go see an ear, nose, throat doctor or an audiologist. They can do a variety of maneuvers. It often gets better in 2 to 3 weeks. If it does not, there are some medications they can use. Nothing's a miracle on that one, but they can work on balance and inner ear therapies to make that better. It's common. It's common, Dan.
And Hennepin Healthcare has a great department that takes care of that because I know I've been through it myself.
We have great audiologists. We have great physical therapists who can do something about this because especially your mom, she's in her 80s. You don't want to take a lot of pills. You know, it's kind of pursuant to the last caller. You don't want to take tons of medications if you can help it. So physical therapy, audiologist, there's maneuvers to fix that kind of thing. And often it'll get better. And if not, maybe a medication might help.
Hang on, please, Dr. David Hilden, who is joining us this morning on our Health Hour. If you have a question for the doctor, and we have many texts we're going to get to right after the break. But we're going to look at that forecast coming up next. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Welcome back to our Health Hour, Denny and for Susie this Sunday morning. She will be back. Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare, has joined us this morning answering a lot of questions, as usual, Dr. Hilden. And here is yet another one via text. Texas says, I have a severe hiatal hernia. What exactly is it, and am I supposed to have surgery to fix it? What will they do?
Yeah, great question. So a hiatal, your stomach is, this might sound obvious, but your stomach's supposed to be in your belly, not in your chest. Well, a hiatal hernia, a wee bit of it is poking up into your chest. You have this giant upside down cereal bowl called your diaphragm, a muscle, big thing that goes up and down with every time you breathe. Well, your stomach is below that diaphragm. Your lungs are above it. So somehow or other, food's got to get into your stomach. So it goes through a hole in your diaphragm, just goes through a hole. Your esophagus goes through this hole into your stomach. For some people, that hole gets a little too big and part of your stomach slides up into your chest. So literally it's up into your chest. It might just be an inch or two of your stomach. But what that means is that that hole can't shut. When you swallow, the hole opens briefly, allows the food in, and then shuts. If it doesn't shut because it's slid up into your chest, you get acid reflux, you get heartburn, it damages your esophagus. So that's the worst kind of gastroesophageal reflux disease. Often medications are enough. Sometimes it's not. And they do a surgery where they take a portion of your stomach. This sounds weird, but they wrap it around your stomach and kind of tighten up the hole a little bit. It's called a Nissen fundoplication. And no, I've never done one. Nissen fundoplication. So it's a surgery on your stomach to permanently correct that hernia. If your acid reflux is really bad, that's when you do that surgery.
All right. Thank you for that. Grabbing a phone call, Dee, I believe, is still waiting there in Bloomington to get a question answered. Dee, thank you. What is your question for Dr. Hilden?
Dr. Hilden, thank you for taking my call. And I am 87, and I eat healthy. I'm not overweight. I'm being treated for high blood pressure. But I have been recently diagnosed with sinus node dysfunction. And my symptoms sometimes is fatigue. And I've been recommended for a pacemaker, but they don't guarantee that that will help my fatigue. Do I need a pacemaker, or can I, by living a healthy lifestyle, take care of the sinus node dysfunction?
Thanks for your question, Dee, and for listening. So I can't say specifically whether your fatigue will get better, but here's the deal on your sinus node. So all of us have a pacemaker in your body. Every single human on planet Earth, it's called the sinus node. S-I-N-U-S. No, it's not in your head. It's up in the right atrium of your heart. It's the start. It's where the electrical signal starts. And miraculously, it does it every 60 times a minute or 100 times a minute in billions of times in your life. That sinus node makes a little electrical impulse. It's your pacemaker. Yours isn't working quite right. That's very, very common, especially of people who are of a certain age. You're not 27 anymore. And so pacemakers are a well-established technology. They've been around for decades, and it's one of the safer things a cardiologist could do. So I generally do recommend people get a pacemaker because it's not, frankly, that big a deal. Whether or not it makes your fatigue better, I don't know. But if your sinus node's going, it's going haywire, it's going too fast, it's going too slow, it could lead to some symptoms like fatigue, shortness of breath, things like that. So I think it's worth it because the risk of it is not high. They put these things in by the cajillions. And so the technology is very good. So I would probably, I can't give you specific advice, but the risk is low of a pacemaker and the chances of it helping you out are pretty decent. So I think I would do it. And the other thing is I would say is keep up what you're doing. It's awesome. Your weight is good. You're healthy. You're 87. And then you come talk to me when you're 107. And we'll talk about things to do then. But you're doing everything correctly. I think it's probably worth doing, but again, I can't give specific advice, right. But it's low risk, D. It is. Lower risk, yeah.
Dr. Hilden, here's a text that I think a lot of us can relate to. A texter says, I forgot my cholesterol pill last night. Do I take it now or just skip it and wait until tonight again?
It's okay to skip it. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Some medications, it's pretty bad if you don't take your daily med, but most of them, and let's be honest, I don't know the human who takes their pills perfectly. If you missed a dose, that means you're normal. I think if I were on a bunch of medications, I'd miss half of them. And so it's okay. Just skip that one from yesterday. Take it at your regular schedule tonight. All right.
This texter says, good morning, Dr. Hillen. Good to hear your voice again. I agree. My question is about blood pressure management. My primary physician is helping me change my dosage of meds because I'm getting some swelling in my lower legs and ankles recently. Are there any things I can do on my own to help manage that?
Yeah, there is one blood pressure medicine that I use almost more often than anything else, but it has one little side effect, and that is leg swelling, that being amlodipine. Goes under the brand name Norvasc, amlodipine, or nifedipine. Those are medications that are really good for blood pressure. If you're on that one, maybe your doctor wants to switch you to something else. For the rest of you who are on amlodipine, stay on it. It's one of the best medicines there ever was. Sometimes the high blood pressure itself is leading to heart problems, which is leading to leg swelling. Sometimes the leg swelling is due to bad veins. That is exceptionally common. Like one in three people of a certain age have bad veins in your legs, and so they just get leaky. So things you can do, put your legs up 2, 3, 4 times a day for 30 minutes. Put your legs up, especially at nighttime they're up. But during the day, put your feet up. Wear compression stockings. That's another thing to do. And then make sure your heart, kidneys, and liver are okay. Those are blood and urine tests that your doctor can do because that can lead to leg swelling. But those are the things you can do. Compression stockings, elevate your legs, have your doctor tweak your meds if necessary. And the venous insufficiency issue, there's a famous American who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, was just diagnosed with venous insufficiency. That's very, very common. So that is not something with a great fix. Just elevate your legs.
All right. Hang on, Dr. Hillen. A short break is in order. We'll be back with the remaining minutes of our health hour. If you're just joining us, Dr. David Hillen, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare, has been answering your questions on this open line show. We'll be back after the break here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Stay with us. It is a beautiful Sunday morning here in WCCO land. 63 is our Twin City temperature reading. Denny Long in for Susie Jones. She will be back, of course, in the midst of our health hour. If you're just joining us, Dr. David Hillen, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare, has been answering our health questions on our open line show. And, of course, Dr. Hillen, we have many we probably won't get to, but some interesting questions. And maybe we can get an opinion on why this texter wants to know if what you think about seeing a doctor in person. They think it's important. For example, they say the doctor can listen to the heart, notice changes in skin color. My brother, they said, died due to a cardiac arrest recently, and during COVID, he started using an online doctor, which I think is good in some cases. But he says, I feel if he had seen a real doctor in person, that the doctor might have picked up on that rhythm.
It's an interesting question, and I tend to agree. My practice is exclusively in person, mostly because I'm a yakker and I like to chat with my patients. But I can tell you what the heartbeat sounds like for most of my patients. So when I see John Doe walks in, I've known John Doe for 20 years. I know what his heart sounds like. So I'll know when it doesn't sound like that anymore. So if there's some little problem with his heart, I'll know because I know his heart like it's ingrained in my head. There's that memory. So there's something good about that. There's also something good about just face-to-face communication. On a computer or a phone or a TV screen, all you're getting is a headshot, and it's less good. I can tell if a patient's not walking very well, and I'll go, ma'am, why are you limping a little bit? I don't remember that from last time. So there's a lot. I would always make sure you have an in-person relationship with a doctor. That being said, some visits can be done virtually. You know, if you have a home blood pressure medicine, or maybe I'm treating you for depression. I've got you. I can talk to you on the phone in a quick follow-up. I see you in person one day, and 6 weeks later, we can do a phone or a video follow-up. How's it going? There is a role for it, but I concur with the texter. Get an in-person visit. Get a relationship with somebody that knows you, that knows what your heart sounds like. But I know what my patient's heart sounds like better than they do because I put that stethoscope on them every year after year after year. So I'll be able to tell if something changes.
All right. Listener sent this via text. It has become a struggle to fill my lungs, especially when lying down. What's the difference, they ask, between COPD and shortness of breath?
Well, shortness of breath is a symptom of COPD. The medical term for shortness of breath is dyspnea. And if it's worse when you're lying down, the medical term is orthopnea. You should have that looked at. COPD is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. The causes are like chronic bronchitis, emphysema. Those are COPD. You can get the air into your lungs, but you can't get it out. So you feel kind of short of breath. But if you're having trouble lying down flat, that is a hallmark of heart disease, not lung, heart, because your lungs might have fluid in them and it gets worse when you're lying down. So please go have that seen. Find out why. Tell your doctor, I'm having trouble breathing when I'm lying down. And they will get x-rays. They might look at your heart. They'll certainly listen to your lungs to see if you sound like you have obstructive lung disease or do you have fluid in your lungs. Those need to be looked at. Not an emergency. You don't have to go right this second. But I would do it more urgently, like over the next week or two or three.
All right. Texter says, what causes neuropathy? No one ever talks about it.
Yeah, because, you know, that's a good one. Because we don't have great treatments for it, to be candid with you. The main causes are metabolic, diabetes. That's the biggest cause. It causes neuropathy because the small blood vessels to your nerves go bad. There's other causes. HIV can cause it. Vitamin B12 deficiency can cause it. There are neuropathies that are more mechanical. A nerve is being pinched. When I say mechanical, it's not metabolic. It's a physical problem. The nerve in your lower back is being pinched. So if you have nerve problems, numbness, tingling in one leg or one arm, that's more mechanical. If it's in all of them or both legs, that's more metabolic. So there's a zillion causes, and the treatments are fair to middling. I got to be honest with you. We have some medications that can help. They can reduce it. But if I had something to make it go away, gosh, I wish I did. I wish I had something to make neuropathy go away right here, right now, because you're not alone. Listener, you're not alone. So many people have it. And we don't talk about it tons because, you know, I know exactly what causes a heart attack. I can wax poetic on that for as long as you got. But what's causing all this neuropathy and what to do about it's a little bit more of a challenge.
Wow. Texter says, it's so great to have Dr. Hilden back, and I agree. I really miss hearing him regularly, and we'll start listening to his podcast. Now, for those that maybe missed the early part of the show, you do a great podcast, and it, what is it? It's usually less than a half hour long.
Yeah, it's usually about 25 minutes, 25, 30. It's on your time and on your terms. It's me talking with usually a guest, similar to what I did for 13 years on this air, on the radio. I miss doing it live. I love it, listeners, that you're calling and you're texting. This live interaction, you know, feeds my soul. I just love it. But the podcast is another way to do it. You can listen to it when you want. You can put it on your car when you're commuting. You can do it when you're getting dressed or doing the dishes. If you're walking on a treadmill, you can do that. You can do it on your phone or your computer or any device that's connected. So if you have an Android or an iPhone, just wherever you get podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, all these things. Or go to your computer, healthymatters.org, and you'll see that you'll bring it up. And there's, I don't know, 100 episodes. We do two a month. The one that just released today is about diabetes. And you can hear an expert in diabetes break it down for you. She'll even tell you what the word diabetes mellitus stands for. Hint, it means sweet urine. So it's more produced. It's not live. But go ahead and give it a listen, and you can do it on your terms when you want, 20, 30, 35 minutes at most.
Yeah, it packed a lot of great information, a lot of topics. Heard so many good things about it. So check it out. We have like a minute and a half to go, Dr. Hilden. A question about the measles vaccine. How long is the vaccine good for? I had one 70 years ago. Is it still good? Texter wants to know.
Yeah, it is. If you were born before 1957, you're good to go. You had it. You just had measles, probably. If you're born after 57 and you got the two-shot series, you're good to go. There was a time period. I was in this time period in the 60s when they gave the shot too early. So you might need another one. But I actually checked an 88-year-old patient of mine because she was so nervous about it. And I checked her blood and she was immune to measles. And, you know, from 70 years ago. So the vaccine is one of the most effective things ever designed by human beings, is the measles vaccine. It does not cause autism. If anyone tells you that, they are wrong. I'll just be crystal clear. They are wrong. It does not cause autism. It prevents measles. And measles is not coming back, unfortunately. But if you had it 70 years ago or you were vaccinated 70 years ago, I think 99.999% chance you are safe. So
that's good, good news.
On ya. Yeah, good on you. It just works that well.
Fantastic. Dr. Hilden, it's been so great, as always, having you on CCO Radio. We wish you well, and I hope sometime we can twist your arm and have you come back.
I'd love to, Denny. Great hearing from you and great hearing from all of you CCO listeners. It's been a blast.
Thanks again, Doctor. Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare, our special guest this hour. Stay tuned next, Bruce and Peg, and your money from Wealth Enhancement Group. In the meantime, a few clouds, 63 degrees right now in the Twin Cities. Stay with us.